Let us open with hymn number 190. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them.
and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth, alleluia. Sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious, alleluia. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves unto you. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. He keeps our soul among the living, and does not allow our feet to be moved.
God, Heavenly Father, who of thy fatherly goodness dost suffer thy children to come under thy chastening rod here on earth, that we may be like unto thine only begotten Son in suffering and hereafter in glory. We beseech thee, comfort us in temptations and afflictions by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not fall into despair, but that we may continually trust in thy Son's promise, that our trials will endure but a little while, and will then be followed by eternal joy, that we thus in patient hope may overcome all evil.
and at last obtain eternal salvation, through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Our Old Testament lesson is found in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 26th through the 31st verse. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail and fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the second chapter of 1 Peter, the 11th through the 20th verse. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord hath sent redemption to his people, alleluia. It was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and to enter into his glory, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 16th chapter of John, verses 16 through 23. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 205.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 16th chapter of John, verses 16 through 23. A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he says, 'A little while'? We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing." Here ends our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, Jesus told his disciples that he must soon go away. And as another gospel tells us, they were very sorry to hear it. Why must Jesus go away? He was Jesus. He was God's Son. He was the one who was supposed to sit on David's throne forever. He was the one they hoped would redeem Israel. If he is Christ, how could he go away and leave these things undone? How could he abandon the disciples who were his dear friends? Like many things that they heard Jesus say shortly before he went up to Jerusalem for the last time, they had a hard time with his words. Jesus says these things, and sorrow fills the heart of the disciples, because they're sorry even to hear about Jesus going away. But in our text, he tells them that a much greater sorrow awaits them when they would see his words fulfilled. They would not just be sad, but they would weep and lament. And even as the world was rejoicing over the same events. It is one thing to hear Jesus speak of going away. It is quite another to see him taken, abused, tormented, and killed. Their sorrow would be great indeed, for it is the sorrow that belongs to those who must serve as eyewitnesses to the cross of Jesus. These words were of little comfort to the disciples when Jesus spoke them, but that is exactly how Jesus said it would be. Their sorrow would not be turned to joy until they saw him again. In the dark time between, they would not even remember these words which he spoke regarding his own resurrection. They would not be looking to the time that they would see him again. Therefore, with these words, Jesus prophesied how their faith in him would falter, because it was not a memory of his promise, but the fulfillment of the promise that would turn their sorrow into joy. Until then, sorrow would be the order of the day. Your sorrow is not quite the same as the disciples, because you never had to spend time as they did wondering what went wrong with Jesus and his ministry. You never had to hide away in an upper room because you thought that your friend Jesus was gone forever, and that all your hopes in him were dashed, and all your dreams of the kingdom of God were broken. You see the end now as well as the beginning. You see the empty tomb as well as the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross on Calvary. And yet, in spite of all this, you still do not escape from sorrow. For there are many sources of sorrow in this world. Some of them happen no matter what you do. Some are your own fault. Even the sorrows that should have completely ended with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead are still with you in one degree or another. And just as it was with the disciples, it is not enough for you to remember the promise. You need to experience it for yourself. Only then shall your sorrow also be turned into joy. That is why Jesus did not just give you a promise, but an experience of that promise in the waters of baptism, in the body and blood of his supper, and in the word of testimony, which is a historical and faithful eyewitness account in which his own spirit is at work, laying before your eyes the death and resurrection of his son, so that you too might rejoice in the midst of the sorrows of this life. And yes, we do join the disciples in their sorrow. The disciples sorrow because they had lost a dear friend. They did not want to part from Jesus. They experienced the sorrow that you have when a dear loved one dies, for we no longer have their company. They are no longer our friend because they cannot hear us and we cannot hear them. We cannot comfort one another or enjoy one another's company. And so it is no wonder that the disciples sorrowed over their lost friend. Yet, now we know that Jesus is risen. He is our dear friend now and forever, and even so, sometimes we still sorrow as if we have lost our dear friend Jesus. When the tribulations of this life come upon us, when our own sins return again and again, and the temptations of the devil seem too great to bear, we wonder why it is that Jesus, our dear friend, has gone away and is no longer with us. If he is our friend, why does he stand so far off and allow us to suffer? Perhaps we have lost him as a friend. Perhaps we've done something to offend him, and that's why he does not step in and intervene. Despite knowing that we have a risen Lord, we doubt his friendship. We believe that we've lost him as our friend. Oh yes, we couch it in self-deprecating terms that it's not Jesus that's the problem, but we who have driven him away or defended him. But nevertheless, we are still doubting his friendship toward us. But Jesus is not a lost friend. He was never lost. In his death, he was more the friend than even in his life. In his suffering and death, he took upon himself our grief and sorrow. He does not abandon us in our suffering, but at the cross he joins himself to our grief and pain. In his wounds we find our greatest friend, and in his death, after he had accomplished all things for us and that he died, he laid down his life for us, his friends. And in the meanwhile, only a little time passes, and suddenly Jesus, our greatest friend, comes to us again. Never more to leave us. Never more to die. He gives us the promise that he is now with us always, even to the end of the world. But similar to the sorrow of a lost friend is the sorrow of broken dreams. For when the disciples experienced the sorrow of the 3 days which Jesus spent in the tomb, they wept and lamented because all their hopes had died. The kingdom of God could not come through Jesus now that Jesus was dead. The disciples on the road to Emmaus expressed it this way: we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. But what now? How could Jesus redeem Israel if he were dead? And now, looking upon a risen Lord, we still experience this sorrow. If our Lord Jesus is risen to new life, then he must certainly want to bless our life in this world. We plan for a successful career and have dreams for our children, whom we will raise up in a God-fearing way. And we will avoid so many of the troubles of this life that oppress other people because we are going to do the right thing and we are going to govern our household with God's word. And it never works out the way we expect, because we are not faithful like we resolve to be. And even when we are faithful, we don't get the reward which we promised ourselves that God would give us. And our children do rebel, and however much we might raise them to fear God, they get into much trouble and often bring grief to their parents instead of joy, and sometimes even fall from the faith. Our witness in this world is not bold and strong, but weak and frail. We do not bring in a rich but a paltry harvest to God's kingdom. Our dreams of the fruits of God's kingdom are being broken constantly before our eyes. Where is the kingdom of God which Jesus promised is among us? We don't see it, and we are certain that this must be our fault. It's not God's promise which has failed. We simply haven't kept our part of the bargain. In other words, we actually think that God needs our help and that he's been waiting on us all this time to send his kingdom among us. But this is most certainly not true. He is not depending on you to do the right thing so that he can fulfill your hopes and dreams. His kingdom comes without your help, without your prayer, all by itself, because his kingdom is not flesh and blood. It is not success and a healthy family. It is faith in the risen Lord Jesus, by whom we are made members of his own body. He has indeed dashed all of our hopes of a merely fleshly kingdom, a kingdom that outwardly looks successful. But in return, he has given us something far better, a kingdom where he feeds us daily and richly with the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. Food which lasts not just a few hours, but for eternity. And this kingdom grows and spreads even when everything seems lost, even when his church seems not so much the Queen of Heaven as the maidservant. And as if in his kingdom succeeds even when it seems that there are no more faithful people left in the world. Look at how it was with the disciples, that the millions of Israel were lost and 40 years later fell to the Romans and perished. All hope of the kingdom seemed dead on the surface. In the meanwhile, the kingdom of God had come and spread from a little group of some 500 disciples to soon 3,000, then to countless thousands, and soon it touched every corner of the world. And all of this it did while looking very weak and vulnerable, constantly oppressed, its members under constant persecution, often not even being able to show their faces together as the assembly of Christ in the public square. And yet the kingdom of God among them continued to grow and spread. Wherever two or three were gathered in Jesus' name, he was in their midst. For there he came, and there he comes today with his word and sacraments, and by these means continues to increase the kingdom of heaven right under the noses of men where they do not even realize it is happening. The church grew then, and it grows today, always under the cross of Jesus, because it is when we are weak and powerless and failures in every way that we are strong through Christ Jesus, who through his own cross has brought us the victory over sin and death. But there are still other sorrows that we experience with the disciples. Their greatest sorrow during the little while Jesus was in the tomb was the sorrow of sin and death. For they sorrowed not merely that Jesus had gone away, but the manner in which he had gone. He endured the worst of all possible deaths. He suffered God's wrath against all sin. The terrible thoughts going through the minds of the disciples during that little while were not of comfort, but of blood and nails and thunder and darkness and cries of anguish and death. The fruits of sin haunted them. They could not escape the fact that their own sins were on display, their own abandonment of Jesus in his time of sorrow. They were haunted by their failures. They were paralyzed by the fear of death, for they were afraid of the Jews who had crucified Jesus. And here also we join them in our sorrows. And we do so in this case justly and rightly. Having seen the cross of Jesus, we see our own sins. And we know that it is for the very transgressions such as faithlessness, false hopes, our failure as parents or sons and daughters, a weak and failed witness. It was just for these transgressions that Jesus was bruised. It is only right that we weep and lament for our sins, and for the death that comes from sin. For there in Jesus we must come face to face not only with the wrath of God which we deserved, but also the death which should have been ours. And yet, in that same little while, is also our joy. For the gloom of death has been dispelled by the glorious light of the resurrection of Jesus, which has ended the little while of despair. And the joy of the risen Christ has not only eclipsed the sorrow of the cross. No, it has taken the sorrow of the cross and the pains of death and transformed them into a blessed and glorious hope. For in the very place where we found only agony and blood and death, not where our sins were on display and the wrath and retribution of God thundered forth, there now we find the grace and mercy and love of God poured out upon us sinners. The joy of the resurrection has turned the cross from an instrument of shame into a badge of glory. No more is the cross a place of death or an end of hopes. Now it is our life, for there the blood which poured out from our dear Lord has become the blood which cleanses us from all sins. The anguish and shame which our Lord endured became the means by which he was glorified. Because there is his greatest work, the redemption of the world from sins. It is there that he conquers, there that he slays the devil and our sin. The death that is brought upon our dear friend has become a death that destroys death and brings to us everlasting life. And so the little time of sorrow which we must endure is changed into a time of joy and gladness, where we receive the gifts of the cross of Jesus and are kept until the day when all of our sorrow will be at an end and we shall see our Lord Jesus face to face. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who art mighty in power and infinite in majesty, who hast created the heavens and bringest out by name each star in the celestial host, as we enter into the courts of thy presence with thanksgiving and prayer, incline thine ear unto us, and in thy mercy hear us. We give thanks unto the everlasting God that thou didst glorify thy Son Jesus in his resurrection from the dead. After he had offered himself as priest and as sacrifice for all the world, laid himself upon the altar of the cross and died to reconcile sinners unto thee. Grant us the blessings of his infinite grace and inexhaustible love. We praise thee that thou didst transform the little while of the crucifixion sadness and defeat into the joy and victory of the resurrection. Help us to lay hold of Christ's promise of eternal life and receive it in joy. Give us this glorious consolation by a true and living faith. Grant us the hope and assurance that our eyes shall not, that our eyes shall yet behold him when, according to thy promise, our Redeemer shall at the latter day stand upon the earth and receive us and all who believe in him into the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. And as the empty tomb has been the cradle of the Church of Christ, we pray that all believers may be endowed with zeal to perform thy will, so that thou mayest be glorified, and multitudes turn from their sin to faith in our risen Lord. Bestow thy favor upon our land. Give us a government that preserves liberty, upholds justice, seeks righteousness, curbs lawlessness, and by thine ordinance bears its sword in courage and integrity. Let all Christian citizens, in accordance with thy will, accept their lawful obligations cheerfully and dutifully, giving respect to those in authority and honor to all men. And as our eternal dwelling place is with thee, O Father, grant us who are but strangers and pilgrims on earth such a measure of thy power and grace that we may resist all evil, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the victor's crown of life. Give the comfort of thy promises to the sick, the sorrowful, the brokenhearted, and the perplexed. Cast out from our hearts all fear of death and the unknown. Instill in us patience in every adversity, and enable us to receive all thy many blessings in love and gratitude. We ask these things in the glorious hope of an eternal day with thee, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We sing hymn number 535.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee. O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, but chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, for he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sin of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lamb of God, and take this away, our sin.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fountain, source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We sing hymn 45.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.